This week, Why Didn't They Laugh is brought to you again by the great people at DraftKings.com, because your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but it's a whole season long. You don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. You want your money now. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. There's no season-long commitments. Injured player, get a new one, no problem. It's a new season every week. Get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week. Every 7 days, another $1 million. Every 7 days. That means you could turn your love of football into the payday of a lifetime. Just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash. That's it. That's it. One of my buddies is up a grand. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm hovering around zero for the whole season. Up a little, down a little. One of my buddies is up 1K. That's legit. And he's a bright guy, but he's not a grand out of nowhere bright. So, you know, I mean, I love the guy. So I'm letting you know you can make cash, legit. It's not fantasy as usual. It's DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings now, but use my promo code LAUGH. That's L-A-U-G-H. Play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home 100K. Enter LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H, for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. It's DraftKings.com. And write to me. Tell me how you're doing. Why Didn't They Laugh podcast at gmail.com. Let's talk football. If you know something I don't, let's try and get me above hovering around zero. Haven't lost anything. Actually, I think I'm up a little bit. I think I'm up like $15, which isn't bad. I mean, that's free money. You can pay yourself to watch sports. It's insane. You don't want to bet a lot? Don't. Enter for a buck. You want to get going? Enter whatever you want. Do it. Super fun. Promo code LAUGH.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? The podcast dedicated to analyzing what makes a joke work, what makes a joke not work. This week we have a great special guest, Mr. Adam Ray. I got to talk to him the other night. I did his podcast live at the Hollywood Improv, and it was a blast with Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, Brent Morin from Undateable, Brad Williams, his co-host. I've known Adam for almost 10 years now. Dude's killing it. He's in the new Ghostbusters. Can't wait to show you guys that interview. But before we start, I wanted to address some awesome letters I got. I asked people to write to me their perspective because I like to learn things. And I did that shiny objects episode about the diamond industry, engagement rings, whatnot. Someone wrote to me, oh, and I was listening to your podcast and wanted to give you my personal insight into why women want diamonds and rings. This is coming from a woman who has never been married, had no intention of getting married, and has come around to the idea not because of my boyfriend, but because I realized that it's not marriage that I was opposed to. It's the wedding that I really don't understand. So many of my friends get stressed over planning it and executing the day, and people get upset if they aren't invited or part of the wedding, etc. I feel like everyone forgets that the wedding is supposed to be about the two of you, not everyone else. Wow, I agree with that. I used to play piano at weddings, 100%. Me and my girl are going to get married, and we're going to keep it super small, which is family. Because I do love weddings, but the bigger you go, unless you can really handle it. Some people are war generals. They can handle that stress. They actually thrive in it. So mazel tov. Cheers. God bless. But some people don't. And yeah. Okay, here's some interesting facts. She goes on to write me about why diamonds are chosen as the official wedding engagement ring. Pharaohs of Egypt first used the circle, a shape with no beginning or end, as a symbol of eternity. But wearing a ring didn't come about until the Roman times. That's interesting. A diamond is derived from the Greek word adamas, which means the unconquerable. Since diamonds are of the hardest substance, of course, people would say that diamonds can represent invincible strength, which is what marriage is all about. Archduke of Austria started the diamond ring engagement trend in 1477, before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's just my commentary. It's not what she wrote. It was believed by the Romans, yada, yada. Okay, Now, personally, if my boyfriend were to spend an obscene amount of money, I feel like that is just a way of branding me. I don't need a fancy ring. I would love a more historical approach if I'm to get it engaged. At 21, my grandmother had willed to me a diamond that was given to her from her mother. I wear it around my neck, and I haven't taken it off since my 21st birthday. Okay, that's cool. Family heirloom would be great in my opinion. Yeah, no, I think a lot of women are like that. After researching why diamonds and rings are important to women, I have come to the conclusion that a ring is truly not important, and we have been instilled by commercials in history to believe we need something shiny on our hands to represent we are engaged or married. And we should really stop believing in that or making fiancés spend so much money on rings. It's a celebration of love. Okay, I agree with a lot of those points. I really do. And some other people have written to me with other points, and they're all very valid. I am going to brag right now. I literally have the smartest fans, to the point where I don't even call you guys fans, because I feel like fan sounds somewhat subjective. You guys are fucking super smart. Okay. This person wrote, "You were spot on about diamonds resale value. Hopefully you didn't go to Jared. Retail markup is ridiculous. I own a pawn shop and jewelry store, and I see how bad people get raped on engagement rings all the time. Diamonds may be forever, but unfortunately marriage isn't for most. Diamonds are way older than dinosaurs, by the way. So as sexy as women might think it is to have a dinosaur shit on their finger, it's just not accurate. It's called coprolite, petrified dinosaur shit, and they do make jewelry out of it." That is fucking fascinating. That dude is cool. This person wrote to me about the Ninja Pirate autism episode, because I asked about autism. I just want to learn about it. I would highly recommend the book Neo Tribes by Steve Silberman. I will read that. Mr. Silberman won't be a firsthand account of what it's like to live with autism. It does approach the topic in depth. I will get into that. In regards to childhood experiences, disorders, and dysfunctions, I was reminded of a story. Oh, here we go. Talking to a dyslexic child, the younger child asks, "If you could be normal, would you want to?" The man ponders the answer and replies, "No, this shit makes you who you are." Don't quote me on that, since I'm having a hard time recalling it from memory. I find that when you try to recall quotes from memory, they're actually the best. Like the way you phrase that, whether it's true or not, whether that's the exact quote, completely agree with that. Like, what does normal mean? If you could be normal, like, what does that mean? Like, dysfunction implies function. Like, what is that? Disorder? Who gets to make the order? Love the podcast. So funny about diamonds. I think I'm the only girl that doesn't like them. I think it would be romantic if someone proposed and wanted to pay my student loans. It's the most important thing. Yeah, I agree with that. But see, here's the thing. This is, okay. This letter I thought was really phenomenal. By the way, I love you guys for writing me this stuff. It's so true. I mean, the paying off in, student loans would be a remarkable act. But this girl, Erica, wrote to me, writes to me. We're becoming friends at this point. She's very brilliant. So maybe diamonds are not just about hazing, but also sacrifice. Yeah, ancient tradition of a wedding, sacrifice was basically an offering up of worldly possessions to honor the gods, specifically in Greece and Rome to the goddess Artemis, as a penalty for the loss of the woman's autonomy and virginity. Modern society is certainly lacking a bit in terms of authentic ceremony, and our value system is based on a singular currency, cash. So the sacrifice of cash for a diamond does signify an acknowledgement of the woman's value to the man. But it also symbolizes the invaluable nature of the union. Engagement rings and wedding rings have always existed as a king of symbols of ownership or partnership. But historically, they did not carry any monetary value, because the diamond industry began and infiltrated the engagement ring market in the early 19th century. These shiny things are in a way merging the monetary value implicit in a wedding sacrifice with the intrinsic value of the ring in partnership. Wow. That's, because it's the sacrifice. The diamond industry is extremely manipulative because they take our genuine desire to commit a sacrifice to show our love, and they just make us give them all the money. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we should make a sacrifice, something with no value that we just do for someone else. Okay, this is what she goes on to write, and this is very powerful. On a personal note, I was engaged once, and I loved my diamond so much because I understood the big sacrifice my sweetie made to get it for me. He was not a rich guy, but it was a big, beautiful ring. I always knew he would do anything for me, and the ring was a reminder of that. My partner now is an economist. He is super smart, frugal, responsible. He would never blow that kind of money on something of so little value. And you know what? I know I will never marry him. Smiley face. I mean, that kind of sums it up, right? It's almost like, yeah, it's the right call not to get a diamond, but you kind of need one. It's weird. Humans are weird. I got my girl a diamond. I did. It wasn't over the top expensive, but it was more expensive than it should be. That's what got me thinking about all this stuff. It's like when they say 3 months salary, that's insane. Is that gross or net? Is that after taxes? But the sacrifice is important, you know, as much as it doesn't make any sense. I should have taken that money and we should pay off our student loans. But there's something about it. There's something magical about being like, I'll just burn this for you. And I'm not even saying that in a cynical way. Sometimes I say it in a cynical way, but I get it. After reading all these letters, I get it. Women are they're survivors and they're practical. And the people that have written to me, like, you're smart as fuck. It's like, you know that it's a bad investment, but there's something in you that's like, yeah, but it's the sacrifice. It's climbing the mountain and killing the dragon. And since our society is based on money, because we're a capitalist, that's the sacrifice. If our economy was based on something else, the sacrifice would be different. If it was war, you know, it would be killing someone. Yeah. So I will be at the Improv in Brea, California, Orange County, November 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets at improv.com or write to me directly, which some people have. I just added Thanksgiving weekend. I'm doing Friday, Saturday in Addison Improv in Texas. I get to stay home with the fam on Thursday for Thanksgiving, and then I get to fly out, do some stand-up for you guys. So that will become available very soon at improv.com. As always, subscribe to this podcast. Recommend it to people, comment, rate it. There's nothing better than doing a podcast, guys. Like, I'll do something on Facebook or Twitter and I'll just get the craziest people comment. This, I can talk about anything and I get very smart and well thought out replies because the people who download podcasts are patient and they're thoughtful and they're typically smart. And even if you disagree with what I'm saying, you don't react like you're in a bus station and you're on meth, like Facebook. I was doing a thing about Caitlyn Jenner. And I said that, hey, women, do you have a problem with the fact that she's Glamour Woman of the Year? And all these people are like, how dare you say she's not a woman? I'm like, I'm not saying she's not a woman. I'm saying that she shouldn't be winning the best woman awards. Because as soon as you criticize Caitlyn Jenner, people call you transphobic. They say, well, you hate transgender people, you're the reason these kids are killing themselves. And you're like, whoa, easy guy. That's not what's happening here. I'm saying, so I did this meme of a picture of Vans shoes. It says, this is the best shoe in the world. And if you don't think that, you're Vans phobic. I thought that would kind of help people understand what I'm saying. Like, I'm so not transphobic that I'm like, yeah, she's a chick now. Great. And she's not even close to the best. And the more we idolize her, the more people like Donald Trump, because the world is full of yin and yangs. As someone wrote to me on Twitter, being a woman is periods and babies. It's not hair and nails. I mean, there's my mother, and I'm sure all of our mothers are more woman of the year. I just can't stand seeing someone get into the gender pretty late. After, you know, That long walk to the nurse when you're 12 and you find out you're going to be bleeding out of your vagina the rest of your life. The cramps, the pain, you know, trying to deal with male attention, trying to deal with pregnancy, trying to balance a career versus being a mom, deciding if you even want to be a mom or not be a mom, you know, feeling objectified, feeling all these things, your whole life, you know, balancing your competitive edge with your maternal edge. Being a woman is fucking hard as fuck. And someone gets to waltz in at 63 years old and starts getting all the acclaim. And listen, I'm not even that into this fucking debate. I care about everything. I get mad. I got mad when 3-6 Mafia won an Oscar. I get mad every time Martin Scorsese doesn't win an Oscar. I get mad, not mad, but I get passionate about every game I watch. I'm just a fired up guy. But when you like write an opinion on something that triggers people, everyone says trigger, you're triggering me. It's like, but the problem, the flip side is when I say shit like that and then all these fucking morons are like, yeah, that's just a dude with fucking fake tits. And that is when I start understanding why the trans community, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community has to be so insane, because those people are out there. So they have to have such a zero tolerance program. I get that side. It's just really annoying. Because those people say the craziest shit. I think, I don't know, man. I wrote an essay today about what it means to be a man. My piano teacher went from being a woman to being a man when I was 11. And I fully believe that you can change your gender from what you're born with based on what you feel you are. It's just very complicated. There's a lot of ins and outs. I remember right after the transition, now as a he, my mother said, when did you know you wanted to be a man? And he said, you know, at weddings, I would want to be the one in the tuxedo, not the one in the dress. And my mom said, we all did, because they had more power. And my mother's very female. And so, see how complicated that is? It's like, so is your gender because you want power and like our society gives more power to men? Or is it because you truly are a man? I mean, Larry for sure is a man. I mean, I just thought that was an interesting moment. But yeah, and it's not about how big your cock is or how many women you fucked or how much money you have. Being a man is about serving. Every society elevates men who serve, whether it's in the military, whether it's just raising a kid and not leaving, whether it's giving food to someone who needs food. Being a man is about service. And it doesn't have to do with cock, size, wealth, or conquest. It doesn't. That's what being a man is. When you boil it down, what is man? In the dictionary, it says male human, not boy or female, comparatively or some shit. Basically, the definition is what it isn't. It's very vague. And we live in a scientific world that wants clarity. It's like, what is it? It's like, well, it's being a man. It's like, how do we measure that in grams? So I am saying these things and people are like, you're transphobic, you bitch. And so it's like, fuck you guys. I'll just talk about it on my podcast where people aren't insane. My point isn't that Caitlyn Jenner is not a woman now. And you can debate what makes someone a woman or a man all you want. If someone chooses their gender and says, I'm a woman, fine, you're a woman. But when you want equality, now people are going to start hating. Remember like when we're growing up and the rich kid had the biggest treehouse, or like the kid whose dad was coach got to start even though he sucked at football? Yeah, well, that's starting to happen with this bitch, Caitlyn Jenner. She was a background extra, basically, in a reality show. And now, you know, she's honored at the ESPYs for the Courage Award. I actually agreed with that one. It does take a ton of courage to do what he did that now she did. And young children do need great, they need great role models, you know, to let them know that anything in nature is natural. No one has a right to tell you what is right or wrong. They do if you're impeding on their freedoms or on their ability to live. It's wrong to kick me in the shin if I don't deserve it. But whatever you are is fine. But that good intention become so fucked up when you can't criticize that this lady is becoming Nickelback. That's why I fucking hated Nickelback, because they were always on the radio and they sucked. Twilight, remember when Twilight was everywhere and it sucked? That's Caitlyn Jenner. And the more you voice it, the more people are like, oh, you hate trans people. It's like, no, you want to award a trans person, award Kristen, the Navy SEAL, who fucking is a woman. That's a national hero. That's a vet. That's a, and the funny thing about Kristen, I've heard her talk on, I think it was Brian Callen or Rogan or one of those, doesn't even want to be called a gender. She's just like, I'm a person. I think a lot of this shit comes from a lack of words. I don't think we have enough words. That's why I keep calling Caitlyn human, that human. Because I'm just done with the he, she bullshit, because who knows when it happens. I don't know. There should be a noun or a, what are those things called? He, she, whatever. That where you just kind of tap out, where you don't have to commit to anything. Spanish language is the worst. El, la, that's attached to everything. The moon's got a pussy. A rat has a dick. El ratón, la luna. It's right there in the books. I wish we just had a thing where it's like, Var is on the cover of a magazine. That way you don't even have to say he or she. Just Var. I don't fucking know. I'm just throwing that out there. CEO of Facebook is a woman and a mother. Oprah Winfrey, Michelle Obama, Ellen. The head of the Food and Drug Administration, tons of people in Congress, senators, fucking, I can give you a million women that are like crushing in any role. And then like all moms, I mean, all moms make life, but someone's going to fucking, I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. You have these opinions and people get pissed off. They say that you, I'm not like transphobic. What people aren't scared. It's the same with homophobic. No one's scared of gay people. They hate gay people. That's homophobic. It's just a bunch of fucking assholes. I think Morgan Freeman said something like that. I think there's a meme out with Morgan Freeman in it. Same with trans. I don't know, man. I just hate that we have to keep looking at the shit. And if I say something like that on Facebook, they go, what do you think? She's disgusting. She's fucking beautiful. I'm like, no, same exact thing as Nickelback and Twilight. Not making any claims on beauty or anything. I don't want to just keep looking at the same face when they have no skills, except for long distance running. Same with Trump. Trump is the same thing as Caitlyn Jenner. It's the same fucking coin flipping through the air. Okay, cool. So here is my interview with Adam Ray. Check out his podcast. It's also on Sideshow Network. And hope to see you guys in Brea. Why the fuck do I keep thinking I'm in Irvine? Irvine. It's been a long day, guys. A lot of stress. Brea and then Addison. And yeah, you guys kick ass. Here's me and Adam Ray.
It was like, they're just open-minded, fun people, young. There were some older people. There were people in wheelchairs there was a guy afterwards who told me he loves our Brad and I's podcast so much that
your podcast is awesome.
He was getting suicidal and he said it like has saved his life.
Are you serious?
I've never heard that before in my entire
life. Oh my God. That's incredible.
And it made me very, you know, I mean.
It puts a lot of pressure on you. So like when a joke bombs, it's like someone probably killed himself.
Yeah, exactly. Part of me was like, thank you, but Jesus, man. Now I'm going to have to really listen back to every pod.
Well, your podcast is phenomenal. I mean, doing that live was insane.
That was one of the most fun nights I've had on stage in a long time.
Joey McIntyre.
You and Brent.
Brent.
You guys all brought it so hard. Quite honestly, it was so, when Brent came out and he had to get out of there, so I wanted him to go first and just... And you always close for a lot of shows, and so I didn't want you to have to like be that for the show. I don't know why. I just was like, don't know. I don't know if that's something you don't think about, but like, because you're so strong, you get asked to close a lot of shows. You probably don't even think about it now. Right. But for whatever reason, I just was like, oh, I don't want him to have to feel like.
Well, and Joey's the closer. I mean, that dude, he brings it.
Yeah, and also just with the new kid. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But when, dude, after you got off, it was, because Brent's always great, and you just brought it, though, man. And in my head, I was like, I know Joey's going to be, this will be fun, but like, you know, he was great on the pod, and him and I have gotten to be good buds, but like, definitely for a second in my head, I was like, fuck, oh, crush too hard.
Well, that's a testament to you, man. That's why I was giving you those compliments after. It's like, a lot of hosts don't want their guests to crush. It sounds so not intuitive. Like, you would always think, why would a host not? But you, like, draw good out of people, which is, and that's also a great quality in acting, you know? With that whole listening, reacting thing, totally. I think it's a lot of listening. Because a lot of comics, I think they're just penises. They don't know how to fucking. They're just, you know, trying to fuck everybody.
Trying to fuck the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like actors.
Let the moment fuck you sometimes.
Let the moment fuck you. You know, sometimes she's got to ride it. You got to flip it around. You know, that's when I think acting comes in handy with comedy, because too many comics just don't let a thing like happen. They will just, in their mind, they're like, "What's the next bit? What's the next bit?" Versus just being in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's why that was so fun.
Well, I mean, it was awesome.
Because musicians, I think, I'm less of an actor. I mean, I can act, but I think music has taught me that more than anything, where it's like listening to other instruments and reacting and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, in the podcast, I feel like I started to, I mean, yeah, through acting, going to acting school and stuff, and then like really putting a lot of, attention to how much you do have, just like, you know, if you're so locked in your head about having actor thoughts, you're not even like present in the scene. So it's right. And then the podcast obviously helps with that, but like doing crowd work, I think is like the main thing that made me start to just, because when I first started doing crowd work and I would see the guys that did it, I was like, oh, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I would start doing it, but I would never listen. So I would, as soon as something would happen, whether I would, you know, give it some attention, start to like make something out of it, I wouldn't be listening. I would just be like, say something funny quick, so they don't get personal, or which I think is what happened with Michael Richards.
Also. Me too. I've always thought that
he was not.
It wasn't. I don't think it was a racial declaration. I think he was just.
He felt attacked, and it was like, I remember early on when somebody said something, and I immediately made some like fat joke, and I'm like, I even at that point too, I was so sensitive about things like that, and I heard myself
fear
do
response,
it.
Fear response, yeah.
Fear. I was like, I need to dominate right now. I need to get back. I need to get
it happens
the
to cops. This is what happens with police shootings.
Yeah,
where you'll see these cops be like, I can't believe I did that. Like, I am so sorry. And it's like, because when you're Malcolm Gladwell, have you read Blink?
No, I need to.
Where when your heart rate escalates, you start perceiving things as threats that aren't really threats, and they've done studies about that. Like, you tunnel vision. You know, a rope is a snake. You know, and comics have that. We're almost like, you got to like Navy SEAL it and drown over and over again until you're not scared of the water.
Yeah.
Because we've all had, what's your biggest train wreck incident like that where you felt that rush and then later was like, I shouldn't have said that?
Oh, man. I mean, there's crowd work moments where that I've done things that I've gotten out of and not, I mean, I was in Vancouver and I had done some jokes about being Jewish, which I don't have a lot of. It wasn't even really about being Jewish. It was just my mom wants me to date Jewish girls, and then at the end of the joke, and I say like, you know, I go on the date with this girl and she, I go, people know very little bit about Judaism. Like she, you know, I was like, at least like Google, like know a little bit, but she had no clue. She was like, you know, oh, you guys like observe really weird rules and traditions. Like, don't you guys like, I've read this about you guys. Like, this is, this is so crazy. You guys, like, can't eat after midnight or something. It's like kosher Shana, Shabbat, Shoshana.
I feel like I know where this is going.
Yeah, and then, exactly. So then I go, oh, wait a minute. No, we're not gremlins, bitch. And I go, you mind if I borrow your umbrella? Like, it's looking like it's going to rain. I don't want to multiply in front of a Nordstrom on a sale day. Stupid jokes. One of my first ones. Then afterwards, this guy does a high Hitler thing. Like, he goes, he's in the front row, and he... He goes, fucking Jewish gremlins, and does just a straight up.
No way.
I swear to God, dude. I see it. It's one of those moments, too, and thank God, you know, you just, yeah. When things like this happen, too, you have to, if you're going to proceed and, you know, now include whatever happened into the show and let everyone else in on what happened, you got to make sure that you learn from that moment, you know, for better or for worse. And I go, nobody else saw that, because I could tell. I could just, I quickly survey. I was like, nobody saw that guy. But I saw it, and I was like, just move on, man, because you don't have to acknowledge everything.
It's like Southpaw. Have you seen Southpaw?
No.
Well, yeah, there's just saying like that.
Or a guy, Hi Hitler's a gremlin.
No, no, it's, I mean, that's the whole thing of the movie is he won't let, this one dude's talking shit and he won't, and his wife's like, just let it go. And he's, and he just can't, and she gets shot. That's what starts the whole movie. It's not a spoiler.
Fuck.
So what happened? So you couldn't let it go?
I couldn't let it go, and I go, well, that was a weird thing to do, man. And the, you know, and I always try to kill people with kindness and like not immediately berate. It's one thing I learned too. And again, from listening, once I got comfortable enough to go, and enough crazy things where I was like, oh, I can handle anything. I was like, but this was still only about maybe 5-6 years in, and now I'm 8. So I felt like I had done enough crowd work, but like still, this was a complete new scenario.
Well, it's a genocide heckle. Like that's a high level.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's, I'm Jewish. I'm not like. I'm very reform. I enjoy being a part of the Jewish community. I've met a lot of great people through it.
Yeah.
And the bar mitzvah was a cool accomplishment. Was a big deal to. It was cool to have such a big go through such a big deal at 13 and to like work that hard on something and to you know. But so
that's how Catholics feel about being molested. You know, it's like around 13, you go through quite a transition.
That's really funny.
So what'd you do to the
guy? So I go, why'd you do that, man? And he was like, do what? He goes, this does it again.
No.
Now everybody sees
it. And where
it.
Is this again?
Vancouver. Which, and this is a great club and a great city. This was just one bad egg.
Right.
I mean, you know, two nights prior.
Did he have a chick that was laughing too hard?
He was by himself.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows where this guy came from?
Yeah.
So he ended up doing it again, and I end up like just playing the truth of the moment and trying to make it funny. And then I was like, "Is this the first time you've done that, or do you go around to most public places and like how other too many times?" And like you know, and then I put him in different scenarios doing the Hi Hitler thing, and that gets some laughs. And then in my head, I'm like, "All right, man, you got to figure out a moment to move on." But I like didn't move on, and I harped on it for a little bit too long, and it just made the whole room super weird. Then he did it again, and then people started yelling at him, and then it just. Then there was just no. I dug such a hole and acknowledged it too long and got visibly upset by it.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden, the more he did it, the more it like actually like really. It was almost like watching somebody shove my mom into a pool when she just got done telling them she couldn't swim.
Right. It was just, what he's saying is he wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Like that's not like a normal drunk heckle. Like you suck. Like you're.
And he just saw like that saying, he saw that he was visibly like he was getting to me. And right. I was allowing it. And then it made the room so weird. And I didn't want to kick him out because I try to avoid that. I've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
Ended up buying the whole room drinks, which would just, you know, ends up being my weekend paycheck. And,
yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I don't regret that.
No.
Because it immediately gets the room back and the staff and the show and the people never forget it.
I've kicked some people out.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
Right? But you always give them a chance, or are you quick on the
always fire? Give them a chance. I give them several chances. Like I get it to the point where when I call a woman a cunt, everyone claps. That's the only time.
That's a powerful moment. If you get to that moment,
yeah,
well, you know, obviously that's well into the show, and you've got
the only way. Yeah, it's kind of like only comics really understand this, where we've all been in that situation where we're the only one who knows what's happening.
Yeah,
and that's when you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
So like, if someone's heckling you and no one sees them, and you just unleash, you just look super abusive.
Yep.
So the only time I really unleash is when people start visibly being annoyed, and then I'm like, listen, these people paid to be here, like, listen, I get it's your bachelorette party, but you got to calm down. Yeah. And then they'll be like,
also sometimes they're so drunk that they don't even it's like there's no point for them to be there because they're not even taking in anything, they're not adding anything to the show.
One thing I'll do, I'll be like, can I get you a shot, because I'll just put you to sleep. I'm like, we'll go one way or the other. Either you got to go or you need to drink more so you can't even talk. I go, because right that's now you're brilliant. Still capable of noise.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where if I'm like, listen, cunt. And then if everyone, including women, are like, yeah, I'm like, you got to go.
Yeah.
Then I know that the crowd has been inoculated.
Yeah.
And it's time to get rid of the smallpox.
They were thinking it, and they were so pumped to hear you assign her that nickname.
Yeah, because sometimes it is, like, fun. If someone's heckling you in a positive way, sometimes crowds want that.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'll go on that path.
Yeah.
But when someone's just making no sense, you're like, I had a couple of those in my last tour. Like, there'd be, you ever do, like, one-nighters in, like, rock clubs?
Yeah.
And there's, like, not a lot of people, and it's, like, they're, like, standing.
Which is the worst, by the way.
Yeah.
People standing away is just like, they almost take the power away from you because they're...
It's so complicated, all the stuff that goes into comedy. And then when you... That's why I started this podcast, because I want to always tell the crowd what's happening. Like, I want to give commentary, like, on itself.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, the reason you guys reacted is because you don't see any black people, and blah, blah, you know. But so that's why I get it all out here.
Yeah. So that guy does the High Hitler, and then it gets weird. And then I tried to dig it out, and it was like, the energy was just weird. I spent a good 15 to 20 after that just, like, really trying to... It was like Kobe the first game after his rape charges, you know?
Right.
Like, you're just, you're playing, like, I just was...
How'd
like,
you get out of it?
Well, eventually, a lot of, like, went by, and then after about 20 minutes, I just stopped, and I go, there's been a shift in energy. And everybody kind of laughed, and then I go, I thought I was strong enough to, like, overcome a couple high Hitlers.
Yeah.
But I don't think I am. But I am capable of driving the show back on the right path. And I go, and I want everybody to, I just like really just acknowledge everything. And then, and then I start talking to the guy some more and getting other like facts about him. And I went back to it. And then it kind of like.
What was his deal?
Opened it back up a little bit. He was just, he was visiting and he like was pretty fucked up. He thought it was funny. He's like, I don't even like, obviously hate Jews or whatever. It just, we broke it down a little bit. And then there was like, I remember there was one other, and this is why I always like to get a couple things through crowd work. I'm never like, I have certain bits where I like to go into the crowd to like talk to about. Like, like when I'm talking about how I want to be in a band because I want to just name it something crazy. Because if your music's good, it doesn't matter what you're called. As long as your music's good. People are going to be like, you two could have been called Me Three. Nobody would have given two shits. Beatles could have been the Beaners. You'd be like, well, that's kind of racist, but I'm still going to go see their show. You know, so then the whole point of like guest hosting SNL, naming a band something crazy, so they have to announce it. So that's usually like a good, like anybody in a band, and then like getting actual like bands that are unknown and hearing their names and their whole process and like the names of their hit songs. It's just a fun like banter to have, you know? Like in Spokane, it was cool. This guy was, you know, was their band was called Strange Brew, and like one person, I was like, "How you guys doing?" And he's like, "Pretty good." I go, "Does anybody know Strange Brew?" And like nobody clapped, and I go, "Hey, maybe if I can get on this, you know, self promoting a little harder, you know?
Get some flyers,
get some flyers going." And then it turns out they were a cover band, and so I go, "What do you play?" He's like, "Pink Floyd and shit." I go, "Well, yeah, man, that's the problem, man. Because if I want Pink Floyd, I'm gonna listen to fucking Pink Floyd, not be like, you've heard Strange Brew's cover of Pink Floyd," But so I had like other people to go through. So in that, with the High Hitler stuff, there was another guy that I had started some fun stuff with and ended up going back to him. And then he ended up like yelling something out. It was a big, like jolly black dude that had like a hilarious laugh. And so we had done some stuff and he had done so something happened that kind of diffused the High Hitler thing for a moment.
Right.
After I'd gone back to it and acknowledged it. And then after that, then I was like, okay, okay, cool. I think I'm now just drop it and then power through for another like 20. Cause it was about 20 minutes in. But it still, afterwards, I never felt like the show wasn't the same. It wasn't like there was just a, because, and it was a bummer too, and I put some of that on the crowd because I felt like I did everything in my power to get it back. And people afterwards, that's all they would, like, even finish strong had a couple, like, I remember being like, all right, like, I think you, like, you know, plowed through that and made the show still great. But people afterwards were like, sorry about that guy. That was everyone's comment after, and I was like, "Like, didn't you just put that behind you and like enjoy the?"
That's how Germans feel about the Holocaust. Everyone's like, "There was 60 million deaths, guys. Can we just move past it?" I'm just kidding.
Have our pretzels.
I'm trying to think of what would be a good Hail Hitler, because the Nazis stole everything from other cultures. Like the Hail Hitler thing was Roman.
Yeah.
The swastika was Indian.
So they just made it famous by mass
genocide.
Yeah, I mean,
they took it from like...
Mass genocide is going to make anything famous. That could have been when the fist bump started.
Yeah. And they were like... The thing about the Nazis, because there's been a ton of evil fuckers in this world. The thing that makes them stick so hard is they were so good at branding.
Yeah.
Like, this is shit that people don't want to talk about. Their shit was made by Hugo Boss.
What?
Yeah. Look it up, man.
What?
Yeah. All Mercedes, all... Dude, that's why a lot of Jews fucking boycott Mercedes and shit. Those... A lot of those huge... The Hitler...
I don't think I can ever wear their cologne again.
They're good for tall people, man. They make good clothes, but it's weird. I didn't know that until. Clothes.
Oh, bummer.
Dude, the SS. Well, and
Hugo
Boss's
defense.
I'm
going to have to go back and get some aspirin or some cool water.
Very few people knew what they were up to until too late, though. That's maybe the defense. Because I don't think Hitler sprung the whole thing on people till deep in the 30s. Because in the beginning, it was kind of an underdog story. You know, it was like World War I destroyed Germany. And then Hitler is this, like, vet who's blind from, you know, post-traumatic stress and clearly out of his mind. Has no human empathy. He's a fucking monster at this point, but no one really knows that quite yet. It's still a little bit bad news, Bearsy.
Yeah.
Because I read this book because of Greg Fitzsimmons. It's called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. It's literally 5,000 pages long, so you get to, like, know everything about these dudes. So they get together, and they start, like, kicking some ass, and then they spring all these fucking theories on people. And that's when things took a hard turn.
So he won people over first and then started
Well, that's one thing that you got to give the German people. He never got more than like 10% of the vote. Like, people weren't actually really behind this guy. He was a fucking maniac. Like, no one elected Adolf Hitler. He just took it. He just got a bunch of fucking psychos. And they like, who was it? Wilhelm? Who the fuck did they overthrow? This chancellor that was super weak. And they just took it. But he was like, I mean, Hitler was... like one of those dudes, the soldiers you see like on the street that think they're talking to orange juice. He was batshit. And I know that goes without saying because of the Holocaust, but yeah. Like Stalin, I think, was more calculated. Like he was almost sane and still doing these things because he was in power for like decades. He was this monster.
And was it that there was really no one to stand up to that amount of crazy? Or was it there was something about him that was like there was a semblance of sanity or something that was coherent enough where they were like, yeah, man, I mean, he flips out if you fucking, you know, beat him at Madden, but like, you know, like, talk to him when there's nobody around. Like, so big group
No, he
thing.
Was bad shit. Always.
Always.
Always, yeah. And he was on meth. You know, Parkinson's, not that that matters, not obviously not. But bad shit. And easy, buddy. And there's this book called Hitler's Henchmen. Because that's what I was fascinated me in college, was like, how did he get followers? Like, who's like, I want to go with that guy.
Yeah.
And then I figured it out, and you see it all the time. It's when societies are pushed to the edge, they listen to the mad dog. I had a teacher, my Holocaust professor.
There's more crazies willing to follow than we think, I think.
Oh, there's one. I'd say 1,000 people are psychos.
All these people that are doing all the shootings and stuff, I mean, or killing themselves. I mean, it's like those people probably, if there were another Hitler to uprise, would in a heartbeat, right?
100%. And society's so stable now that those people just end up... I was trying to work on a bit about it, that they just end up working at the DMV. But like, because I'm a huge history guy. I love history. Yeah. World War One. This is why
I love talking to you too, because that was something that always interested me, but not until after college. I literally, for whatever reason, had no... I think also too, it just never really was one of those things that would easily... When I heard about it, read about it, it never as much as like things in comedy or sports did. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like where I would, my brain was like, dude, take in all that knowledge.
Right.
But with history, it's always just like.
It's all about the teacher.
Yeah. Because I only had one ever good history teacher.
Yeah, same with music. Like my first music teacher, so open-minded, she had a sex change, became a dude when I was 11. Like that's open-minded. Yeah. Got a wiener. And so she was the best, and he, both genders, was the best ever, which is teaching me Bach. It's like, why not? You know, because it was all like systems. She would teach systems, like not focus on the notes. That's why the history teachers suck. They're like, what year did the pilgrims land? It's like, who fucking cares?
Who cares?
Tell me the concepts.
You know what my history teacher would do? And this is another reason why I didn't absorb so much. He lived a crazy life. His name was Mr. Clayton. He was 6'5". He played power forward for the University of Washington and then just traveled the world. Has had like 15 out-of-body experiences. And we would always ask questions like on test days or on any days because his stories were so... unreal that we would like he'd start to tell us about, you know, the Great Depression. We'd be like, Mr. Clayton, like, we heard from like other kids, like juniors, that like you went to Zimbabwe for like 4 weeks and like took peyote. And he's like, oh, you want to hear that story?
Yeah.
2 hours later, bell rings, dude, now it's test is pushed to Monday. So we were getting that stuff versus actual history,
right?
But you know, history from a dude who just lived it, which in its own way was cool.
See, my teacher lived in post World War One Germany. Like in the early 60s. And I mean, it's just that shit. Nothing will show all of human nature like World War II. It's like mind blowing because World War I was so bad. I mean, the war before, people were wearing fucking feathers on their heads.
Yeah.
You know, like they did it to like be cool and like have stories to tell. And then World War I hits, you know, millions of people just getting gunned down. There's no more glory. There's poison gas. It's like a Pink Floyd video. And then the problem that the world did, it wasn't Hitler. Hitler just was, there's always a Hitler. The problem the world did, and this is why people have to always know history, because it validates the existence of Israel, things like this. Because if you forget what the shit was going down, you don't realize what's happening now. Okay, so everyone blamed everything on Germany. So the reparations, it's as if right now America had to pay $100 trillion. Yeah. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
So everyone's poor. They're fucking poor as shit. They went from being this proud nation to being fucking annihilated. And so they start listening to anyone who can blame it on someone because they couldn't handle it emotionally, you know? So then they just start listening. And one of the reasons it was anti-Semitism came in so easily is the only people who retained wealth had foreign currency. Jewish people.
Shit.
Yeah, isn't that fucking crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, because if you had francs, if you had pounds, you weren't as killed. If you had only German marks, it went from 6 marks to the dollar to 1 million marks to the dollar. You're fucking gone. You have no more money. And then there would be these Jews who were only in these positions because that's the irony of that shit. That's a whole other story. Is they weren't allowed to have certain jobs, so they were forced into banking. And then the fucking, that became sweet. It's all systems, man. And so then...
That's like getting traded to...
The Yankees in 93.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. And then they win 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everyone's mad at you for that.
Yeah.
So that's why they just listened to this fucking crazy person. Then once he got power, he just started. I don't even think he was that good of a public speaker. Everyone says he was so charismatic. I think he sounds like a fucking dumbass.
Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just, oh, no, no. He just looks fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And FDR once said, that isn't the sound of humans. Those are the sound of animals. He was listening to the fucking Nuremberg speeches.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why people need to know this shit, because that's the importance of like the UN and shit like that. Because when you put people in desperate, some of these assholes are like, why are we giving aid? Why are we giving aid to these people? Because desperate positions make fucking crazy people. Look at ISIS. Like when you annihilate an area, you listen to crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
My teacher once said, if a building is burning, you don't take a vote. You listen to the guy with the loudest voice.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's intense.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so that's why it's like, when you actually know history, you see why...
That's why Trump is even close to...
I did a video today. I took it down because Amy said it was a little intense. I thought it was funny, but she said it was super intense. I was comparing scene for scene.
Again, a great reason, by the way, to have a girl in your life.
Yeah.
Just another...
There's a million good reasons. And these cookies. I mean...
The milk. You sent me the picture, by the way. I was driving. And I just started using the vocal text thing.
Yeah.
I never use it. So, literally, this is probably my first time. And I'm at the light. And you sent the picture of the milk and cookies. And in my head, I go, oh, I'm going to type back so hard, right?
Yeah.
Implying that my dick was excited for these cookies.
Right.
And milk. And then I go, oh, use the speak thing. So I hit it. And not knowing, since I haven't used it again, I go, do I need to like say it with the conviction of somebody who actually would like want to fuck the cookies? So literally I'm in my phone at the light going, so hard. And then I go, the phone's not going to know. It's not going to.
Dude, this is what you got to invent.
It's not going to read.
Script Siri, where it's like, so hard, he said intensely.
Also, it's like Siri.
Sato.
Did you mean that like, you know, as a joke to your friend Owen, or do you really want to fuck the cookies?
It's like exterior, rainy night. So hard.
Because then I said it, and then it didn't do it, and then in my head I go, dude, Adam, just say it. Like, you don't put feeling behind it. But having an immediate person to check in on and give you eyes and ears on something.
Yeah, no, because I think Donald Trump is the Joker. And I was comparing scene for scene. It's so goddamn funny, because he was like, Master Wayne, he's like, when you push these people too far, they listen to someone they don't quite understand. And they go, and then he was like, some people aren't motivated by money. And then I was doing clips of Donald Trump going, I don't want your money. And then I went to the Joker being like, I don't need money. And it's like,
yeah, dude.
And Trump's like, I'm here to send a message. He goes, you deserve a better class of criminal. It's all about a message. And then I cut to that black dude in Batman that's like, $1 million to fucking kill the Joker. And then I cut to a news footage that's like, that Mexican puts $100 million on. It's like right out of a fucking...
Yeah. It doesn't seem real. I mean, but... You know.
He's not good or bad. He's just the mad dog.
Yeah.
He's fucking...
And there's no way... As awful as, you know, hey man... The amount of awful things that happen on a daily basis in this country. And there's a lot of great stuff. But, like, there's no... I don't think we're in up shit creek far enough to where Trump... Like, that's... Right? I mean, that's...
Well, I think that what would happen, which would be hilarious, is he would be elected and then do nothing that he said because they... The CIA has a meeting with him and says, we can kill you with an eyedropper. Like...
Yeah, he wouldn't have any control.
Oh my God! Yeah. No. Have you seen my bit about how presidents are managers at Applebee's?
No.
I'm like, that's why Obama's good at his job. Love him or hate him, he chills people out. It's like, you don't like the soup? We'll get more soup. No way. My free soup. And I'm like, Trump would be like, it's gazpacho, cunt. Get the fuck out. And then I do a bit about how, you don't want that shit at the UN because he's flipping sides all the time.
Trump.
Oh, he's Democrat, he's Republican, he fucking loves Israel, hates Israel, loves Israel. He fucking thinks Syria's looking at him weird. He's emotional psycho.
Does he, do you think he's even slightly cognizant of the amount of flip-flop, like of saying something?
No, I think he has borderline personality disorder. I think he's a narcissist. I don't hate him. It's not like I'm one of these people that's like, fuck Trump.
You
I'm
feel
like,
bad for him.
Well, yeah, you just know what he is. He's that kid in elementary school that said he had a girlfriend in Canada. You know,
but then still pulled his pants down all the way to take a pee standing
totally.
Up.
Totally, like an idiot.
You know that kid?
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah,
yeah. Like Trump, and then the end of the bit is the best president would be Jimmy Fallon, where I'm like,
oh yeah,
no way. Like your soup is cold. Like we'll get you more soup. Like no big deal. Justin Timberlake's here.
Yeah, because the best people pleaser. Yeah, and just
he's a people pleaser, man.
And confuse. I think. I mean, that's why when you hear that story of him like hosting the SNL 40 after party and like. When somebody just said, get up there and, you know, like, have you heard that story?
Dude, I've lived it with him. When we used to tour,
Very few people can do that and make everybody comfortable of all, I mean, especially of that magnitude, those type of people.
But oh, yeah, he's like a dog in that sense. I mean that in all respect that, like, Benny will sit on a king's lap or a janitor's lap and doesn't give a shit. It's all about just the connection, you know? And that I've seen Fallon talk to busboys like they're fucking Margaret Thatcher. You know, he's like... No way! Like, how much bleach do you use, Mr. Janitor? Yeah. Like, he just does. He just
and
connects
he can control the room, but he doesn't have to. And I think that's like the
dude. He's a wizard, man.
Because he probably wasn't like, oh, dude, this show party. I should go up there and host because I'm good at this. He was probably just chilling. And at least from what I heard, that somebody said like Jimmy, like go up there. Like they suggested it, and then I think he's just so dope that they were like, when people were like, yo, man, and then he knows I am good at this shit. Like I would probably get you know, and then it turned into much more like, but. He knows how comfortable people are with him. So if he's up there,
he's a unifier.
Yeah, then Paul McCartney and Bill Murray are going to want to get on stage. Because right. They're like, oh, fucking Fallon's at the helm. And
it's dude, like, me and Fallon, when we toured, we would do that shit.
That's so crazy to me, by the way. That you
we would do duets. He'd come up with it that day. We'd come up with something, rehearse it a couple times, and just do it. He'd be down. We'd stay after and jam with the staff till 5.
Jesus.
He's legit. Like, when I did Fallon, my brother, super high strong, brought a rock from Central Park. And he's like... I got this rock for Jimmy. Like, I think he'd really like it. And I'm like, bro, don't give him the fucking rock. That's really crazy. Like, please don't. And of course he does anyway. And he's like, here, Jimmy, I got this rock. My brother's like, and then Fallon's just like, it's a rock. No way. Like, he didn't make him feel stupid. He could have been like, who the fuck is this guy? But he was like, nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a fan, man.
So you saw him, even in those days you were like, oh yeah, he could host a show and be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that dude just, he's a unifier. And Trump is the exact opposite. And I've done that bit for all Republican crowds, and they still clap when I say he'd be a terrible president because no one wants him. They just hate not him.
So do you think Hillary is...
100% will win.
Yeah. And A, because I think she should, and B, I think because of what she's up against, right?
All she has to do is just not speak. We got. I mean, the Vermont dude's cool and everything, but it's basically like he's a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Like
which dude? The
Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, he's cool.
Yeah, but he's too old.
And he's also just like, I don't know. He says crazy shit.
Yeah, he's also, I don't know. Hillary's poised, pumped. She's poised when she's pumped up. Bernie, I feel like, is might just fucking like dude, flip out on a magician like for doing a trick that he saw through at a kid's birthday party.
Right. And like, I kind of like fucking insiders. I like people that understand being a politician is a fucking job.
I also think Hillary just fucking, like, she just lives it so hard. She, you know, she's so, her going on SNL and some of these things is like, are great moves. It's like, you gotta, because Obama definitely set the bar as being like, oh, cool. Oh, the president can be like really fucking, can shoot hoops with Dwayne Wade and stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, you have to, when you don't have that luxury, like Hillary, she's not, there's not shots of her like playing tennis with Steffi Graf and, right, and being like, yeah, this is, you know, this is what I...
Because I like...
You've got to find even... ways to connect with people other than, right? Like,
yeah, just because everything's present. Changed. Everything's changed. It's like, everyone's exposed.
Like so Obama going on Marin. Like, Hillary's going to, like...
You know, I loved when Obama went on Marin. And like, I'm not
Hillary's going to have to go on the Joe Rogan podcast.
That'd be amazing. Can you imagine?
Wow.
That'd be incredible.
That would be. That's actually the spot.
That's absolutely the spot. That would be... She'd win. For sure, because Rogan's that enlightened bro. It's like I got so much respect for that guy.
Oh, he's
he
a
like,
beast, dude, on all fronts.
He's a beast.
But yeah, he's got. I mean, he's got a lot of with it people, but then he's got a lot of fucking
psychos.
You know, yeah, weird fans, YouTube trolls that
his fans are either like fucking Nobel Prize winners or dudes that like definitely have killed people. They're just like, Joe, just
but
not
come together over Rogan, yeah.
Yeah. I love Rogan.
Like, probably listen to the podcast on the way to the hit.
Yeah, or on the way to, like, the lab. Yeah, because I don't vote at all, because I won't pretend like it means anything.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a...
Really? Do you feel like you're really insignificant
I think that the government is not run by the president. I think they're... Maybe I should vote. If Trump's up, I'll vote against him no matter what. Because you're basically just voting for student president. Like, they don't do any. Like, the student president won't get us out of fucking class at 2:30. It's 3 o'clock
They'll
no matter what.
They'll say they will.
They won't.
I promised free ice cream.
I was treasurer. I promised a lot of shit.
I was treasurer, too.
Nice.
I mean, I had to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of 6 Jews at Lake Forest Park Elementary.
I was a quarter.
And Eve Anderson didn't want to do it.
Dude, we had some Jews because we're the only city that took in Jews during World War II.
Really?
In the whole country.
What's the population of Jews there now?
A couple hundred, but it's a town of like 10,000.
I got a great question for
That's
you.
That's why I didn't know what anti-Semitism was as a kid, because we didn't have it.
Yeah.
It's weird. I didn't know until literally I was like 22 when people would be like, well, you know, I knew historically about it, but I didn't know. I'd never heard anyone be like, that fucking Jew.
Yeah, for me, it was the way somebody said Jew. They, like, took too much time, spelt, like, delivered.
It's on the eyebrows.
It's the eyebrows. They hit the first J with a lot of conviction, and they took a lot of time filling out the rest of the consonants.
That's
and
funny.
And I was like,
well, Jew.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that sounded wrong. And my brother was like, that's anti-Semitism. And I was like, oh, shit. Because he didn't, you know.
What do they mean by it, though? Like, what's it? Who does that bit? Is it John Roy about, like, all the shit Jews have is stereotypes, like, who the hell is against? Like, what, you don't like money?
Yeah.
Like, you want to get paid in fireworks? That's his joke. It's like, how is that bad? Like, you fucking... Yeah. Jews love money?
Yeah.
Like how,
everybody loves money, though.
Who the fuck doesn't love money?
Yeah.
Like, there is no... It's the same with black dudes and fried chicken. It's like, you're saying, like, you don't like fried chicken? Like, what is the bad Jewish stereotype? Like, what is the...
Being cheap. But
isn't it frugal?
No, it's cheap. I mean, and that's what's very... I mean, cheap is, you know, nobody wants to be labeled that. But I know so many Jews that... I mean, remember my parents and, you know... Dude, I also feel like I'm so generous in this in anything with the service industry because I have so many friends that are still in it or have done it, and I'm just very sensitive to it. And I dated a girl that was white, so I'm just like... Same thing with any sort of...
Well, Jews aren't cheap. They're just great at math. Like, some of the most generous people I've ever met are Jew. Like, Adam Sandler's one of the most generous humans you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that sometimes people will be like...
Yeah, how many famous Jews have to be that cool to get the cheap label
Well,
removed?
I think that what it is like, you'll see, like, a Jewish dude actually do the math, and people are like, oh, he's cheap. And then you're like, no, but that's exactly 18%.
Yeah.
He's just good at math.
Yeah.
Dude, the cheap stereotype should be French... It should be Asians.
Yeah.
Oh, I was a waiter forever out here.
Foreign people are the worst, right?
Insane. And black people that, well, no, because black people either tip the most or the least. There's like, no, they're bell curve guys.
Yeah.
It's either they get you to get them free shit and they give you nothing, or they give you 100 on 100.
Wow. Wow, that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of dope. Wait, what was your speech like for running for Treasury, and in what grade?
I was a sophomore in high school, I believe. I don't remember my speech, but...
okay, because I was fifth grade, but I want to hear, like, because I'm assuming this, you inserted some moments of comedy because you were...
I don't remember what I did. I think I just... I used to, like, not to be whatever, but I used to always get, like, tons of applause. And it came from a weird place. Like, I was, like, this weird anti-hero vibe.
From jokes.
In middle school. Yeah, like, people would, they'd be like, oh, into the principal's office. And no one knew who the fuck I was, but it would happen so often that people would just start clapping in the cafeteria.
What?
Yeah, and they'd start Owen chants. And then, no, swear to God. And I was, like,
just
not
because of
popular.
The consistency? Or
yeah.
Like...
And just because I was just this, like, odd character, I guess.
Did word travel what you did? Like, that must have been...
I would, like, my parents are professors, and I would, like, contradict what the teacher said, not to be a dick, because I thought they would want to know the right answers. And they would put me in the corner. And so it was almost
again,
like...
Again, like, that's how they handle the heckler. They're, like, immediately...
Bro, they made me a martyr.
I can't reason with this child.
They made me popular. Yeah, it was, like, no one knew the fuck I was, and then, they literally, like, it'd be sporting events. I wouldn't even be playing, and people would just start Owen chants. It was like right out of a fucking movie, dude. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
And then it just, it just kept escalating.
So did this go to your head, or was it?
No.
Like, you were popular without being popular.
Right, because I wasn't, like, getting the prom queen or anything. I wasn't, you know, it was this odd, like, just.
Why do you think the whole school rallied around this, just like, was it because it was such an anomaly that they were like.
I don't know. I was very tall, and I had,
Well, that plays a factor, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, in music class, I would just crush piano and then not talk. And I, like, looking back, I've tried to analyze it, but it was a fucking anomaly, bro.
And so you really hadn't, like, cemented your persona around school enough to where people could decide who you were. So they created this idea, this like, dope, tall, killer at piano who,
right.
Since you didn't talk a lot, they didn't have a lot of info, so they just created, like, I bet he's the shit.
It's like Ryan Gosling in movies.
Yes.
He doesn't talk, so people are like, he's saying what I want him to say. I was a blank slate.
Wow. Blank slate.
Yeah.
That could have been your nickname. What would you, so you, wow.
No, it was crazy. Dude, senior year I was elected, you know.
So finally you had to take advantage of this.
You know, it was like 30 awards, I got like 8 of them. And it was a class of like 500.
So you were speaking at this point.
Yeah, at this point, and I was
you
also...
You rallied around your own chance. You were like, you joined in, Owen.
Yeah, I would stand up and people would flip out. Yeah. And
That's unbelievable.
The popularity got me into sports. Like, I wasn't even playing sports, and then...
They wanted you around.
Yeah, because I became friends, and it was like, all the popular kids were my friends, but I wasn't, like, really in with them. Like, they still, like... Would be like, they'd make fun of me and shit, but they still wanted to be around me all the time.
Were they like, come to practice, but don't come to the party? Or like, what?
No, they would always want me around, but I just wasn't one of them. And then by the end, I was. And now they're still like some of my closest friends.
That happened to me for a little bit. And I want to ask if you, these guys didn't tease you, did they? That were some of your closest friends? Because that's what it was for me when I was a fat kid and finally started
making... Dude, they throw rock... Like, there was points in my life where...
Were people that are your close friends now, did they ever tease you at some point?
For
being tall or quiet
or
whatever?
Yeah, totally. When I was really young, I used to let people, like, throw rocks at me and shit for attention.
That's some fucking...
Yeah, it was weird. Dude, it was the absolute value of attention, whether it was negative or positive. I just wanted to exist.
Did you suggest that activity, or did somebody just...
I was just down. Like, I would just be down with whatever. And, like, people would be like, oh, this fat kid's going to let us throw rocks at him.
Yeah, that's a quick way to insert yourself into any social circle.
Yeah, it's a...
Fat kid's DFW, fucking throw rocks, he'll eat anything.
Dude, I would eat anything.
Like, you were that kid, too.
Totally. I would eat anything. I was just down, man.
Maybe one of those,
like,
kids, Greg Seidlinger was his name. Sounds like a kid that would eat anything, right? Sounds like a kid that would suck toes and drink a bottle of cum without even thinking twice about it.
Dude, that's in my bio. They put that at the funny bone.
Drink a bottle of cum in the seventh grade for attention.
Yeah.
No, but similar thing with me. When I, you know, was a fat kid, fourth grade through sixth grade, And the kids who were the popular kids, who I would be in Cub Scouts with or play against in sports, but were just like, you know, kids are cruel. They just don't know. They know because they can.
Yeah, I don't know. They can't. They don't
also
know.
I think I was good at like laughing it off or not totally. Really. I wouldn't cry. So they were like, oh, this kid like doesn't mind getting called Jello Jiggler on the kickball field.
Right. I was sexy O and it was sarcastic.
Yeah. So, but then one day I just started fucking. It was a field trip, and I started these popular kids, and one of them now is literally my best friend from Seattle, best man at his wedding, he was with the kids that would tease. He wouldn't so much do it, but he was with them. But I made them laugh on this field trip. They followed me around the whole field trip. It was like the Seattle Center where we walked around everywhere, and I was just, dude, crushing. I don't remember, I was, you know, doing Ace Ventura impressions of our teacher, impressions of friends, just crushing, to where the next day they invited me to like sit with them at lunch, to play at recess with them, and I would be in the sports community and also hang out outside of school.
Yeah.
And then they became like good friends of mine in high school, and I always in the back of my head was like, oh, that's so crazy. I wonder if they even think about the fact that like how cruel they were at one point. I started making them laugh, but I was so, I didn't care about that, any sort of like quick turn of them being like, oh, now let's be friends, because I was so thirsty for acceptance, you know, and was so pumped that I wasn't the fat kid anymore to them. I was the funny kid. So I was like, dude, that's really where all the comedy for me stems from. It was like, oh, I can stop the teasing by fucking making these people laugh. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's that's almost like some of the funniest people were almost like emotionally abused. Because some of the toughest people, the toughest people I know were the ones that were like their moms were getting fucked up by their dads. And they're like, I will stop this with my fucking fist. You know, those are the dudes that are like.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't that. It was. It wasn't a physical thing. It was emotional. Like I was. Yeah. If I got funny enough, I could turn the tables.
Yeah. And then you just get to a point too where you recognize the power of that in your life. And then also it feels good.
Yeah.
So aside from it, like diffusing, you know, situations or argument, just any sort of tension, you're like, oh, like that. It's like a pretty unique, like nobody else even know. Like,
you can make friends anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world. I had Kunal from Big Bang last episode, and he was talking about how like people would make fun of him and he would laugh just with them. And then he would just like look at the wall and like smile, like as if someone like had his back. It's like, and then we're talking about the physics of laughter.
Game plan.
Where it was like, it's like the absolute value of a laugh, where whether it's positive or negative, you're still laughing, and in the end, does it even matter? It's intense.
It's also like just, that's the crazy thing too about just not having a fully developed brain or sense of, but it's like, I feel
young
like
dudes
I'm,
are crazy.
I'm probably way more sensitive. Is that just how it is too? Like as a kid, you just are more sensitive than as an adult because you just develop. You go through more shit as an adult to develop thicker skin or just less of a concern for things. But like,
yeah, and you also can recognize motivations.
Yeah.
Like now I'm like, oh, he's saying that because he doesn't have a cock. You know, he's got the tiny hammer.
So you feel, yeah, for sure.
Or it's like, oh, he's doing that because he's threatened. Oh, he's doing that. Like,
yeah, you didn't know that in the fifth grade.
No,
this kid's
you're like,
picking on me because he's got a tiny
like,
cock.
What's wrong with me? I'd be like, why am I bad? I used to always think that I would believe anything people said.
Wouldn't like, it be great if like, you had that wherewithal, though, in the fifth grade? Somebody called you something, you go, it's all right. Dude, Devin, don't sweat it, man. You got a tiny dick. And he's like, what?
Bro, that's like sending an email in the fucking Middle Ages. Like, people just lose their minds. It's like, how did you know that?
Yeah. But no kid is that confident to flip the script.
No.
Like that. That's why you just take it. That's why even the bullies, when they got like, you know, that was always the best, I feel like, when you saw a bully, like somehow some kid came, whether it was like in a basketball game on the weekend where like we somehow played with some older kids and an older kid like made fun of the kid that bullied us. It was like, oh, fuck. Like those rare moments were the best.
The best.
Because it was like, oh, dude, you got to see the bully be vulnerable for a minute. We had a kid named Dustin Brody who used to pick on kids. Dude, when it would rain in Seattle and we'd still go out to recess and then, you know, he would shove kids and they'd fucking fall in the mud and have to get emergency clothes. Did you ever have that?
No.
It was basically like the fucking nurse had like purple sweatpants and purple turtlenecks and like if you got muddy and shit, they had like extra clothes, emergency clothes. But it was always the worst outfit. It was like fucking something that like Nathan Lane like would wear in the closing number of a shitty musical.
The funny thing is now it's probably super stylish and like hipstery.
For sure.
So you got Ghostbusters coming out.
Yeah, it'll be July.
That's insane. How was that?
It was by far the coolest thing I've done to date.
Yeah.
Just because on a lot of levels, because A, it was the third thing I got to do with Paul. And even though Spy was quick, but it was still, he let me go out to Budapest for 9 days, and it was like one, you know, a couple days of shooting. He thought, you know, even though it was only three lines on paper, it ended up being like one in the movie. In the extended cut, there's like six, so they left more of it in.
Yeah.
But he at least goes, oh, it's something small, but like, you'll probably make something funny out of it just from our time on the heat.
Totally.
And that, you know, and then we would go out to dinners and stuff. So it was, and in my head too, it was like, oh yeah, I'll just, when he was like, do you want to come out of Budapest and do this small thing? I was like, I'll come out just to hang and like give you a little back rub.
I'm like that too. Like, that's why it's like the Jokers were like, I was like, yeah, I'll open if you want. They're like, you'd fucking do that? I'm like, dude, I just like hanging out, man. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, what do you think of Budapest? It's two cities, Buda and Pest.
Unbelievable.
Split by a river.
Yeah, that river is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Danube River or something?
Danube.
Danube, yeah. Danube. Unbelievable. I wasn't there long enough. Especially when I travel that far for anything, I'm just like, I wanted so badly to like then go there to like, you know, China or somewhere that I'd never been, because I'm like, I'm halfway there. Or right. At least, you know. But it was gorgeous. But like being there with Paul and around him, I feel like no doubt put just in my head, put in his head that I'm down for whatever. And this part he gave me in Ghostbusters,
yeah,
with all the singing and the stunts and the everything, he it's like, dude, people would have died to have this part, and it's way more than I did in the heat. And
yeah,
and he just goes,
oh, it's an American institution.
And he thought of me for it, and he goes, oh, I just knew, and you know, his VP of production, who I've gotten close with, I was like thanking her and some other people that I know, and Allison Jones, who cast it. Everyone was like, dude, thank Paul. Like, he, when they were coming up, goes, oh, Adam's down for whatever, he'll do this.
Yeah,
like that's how it happened,
because we're fat kids, man.
Yeah. Dude, it was basically Owen will drink this bottle of cum. Adam will flip upside down and sing, you know, 40 feet above the air.
Dude, that's going to be insane.
I think it'll be, I mean, being around it for as long as I was, and also knowing, seeing Paul, so to get that comfortable with him to where like, man, he's still Paul Feig, but like, it was like very comfortable to where he would be, every take and something, he'd tell me something and we'd talk about alternate lines and then he'd go, and obviously whatever you think of, do.
Right.
And then I would hear that and not go, oh shit, fucking, you better make it funny. It was like, cool, I got you, man. Because now I'm like,
dude, the best leaders trust their generals.
Totally.
That's what Hitler, terrible leader. For real.
Yeah.
Dude, everyone said, don't fucking go into Russia. He went in and he lost. You should have told that to the guy in fucking Vancouver. Be like, you're worshiping a piece of shit who didn't know anything about war.
I know. I wish I was that savvy with that type of stuff.
But it wouldn't have even worked. I've tried to do shit like that. And people are like, what the fuck are you
talking
about?
You can't get too cerebral up there with shit like that, can you? At the end of the day.
Because you can't disprove, like, you can disprove Nazis. Like, you can literally disprove them.
Yeah.
Like, they're bad at war. Their ideology is stupid. They lost. They had one of the shortest runs in the history. Like, but skinheads are still like, but fucking, Genghis Khan was a good leader. He killed even more people, but he trusted his fucking generals.
He's in Street Fighter, right?
Genghis Khan? Is he?
I'm joking, but I'm also half serious because, again, remember, I don't know a lot of history.
Dude, you got
Genghis Khan. Oh, I'm thinking of Blanca.
Yeah, you're thinking of Blanca.
Yeah.
Which is, I think he's Spanish because that means white.
Blanca?
Yeah, Blanca.
Blanca was like the gargoyle type guy from Street Fighter.
I was called Blanco Diablo by a Cuban once. That means white devil.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think he was just kidding around, though.
For sure, man. That's usually a term of endearment. Or,
dude, you gotta read about Genghis Khan, dude. Baddest motherfucker ever lived.
I would love, and I'll fully commit to this too, because I don't watch a lot of TV, and so I would love to, you know, have things when I'm flying, you know, a lot to
hardcore history.
Well, books. I'm saying books.
Podcast. Dan Carlin does a lot better job than any book. Dan Carlin, Hardcore History, start with Wrath of the Khan, 1 through 4. It's 12 hours. It'll you won't want to you'll be like, you'll get off the plane and someone will greet you and you'll be like, I can't. I'm like deep in this.
Okay, well, so that sounds like one to maybe save for when I'm not on my way to a gig.
No, you'll crush harder than you've ever crushed.
Okay.
The dude used to drink horse blood as he rode through the Gobi Desert and he took China.
Horse blood?
Horse.
Oh.
Like, he wouldn't even get off his fucking horse.
Dude. We acknowledged for a second that I thought you said horse blood.
He probably did that
and
too.
And I still was just as amazed.
Dude, 1 in 200 people living right now are direct descendants from him.
Wow.
That's how much he raped and fucked and killed.
What?
Yeah, he was a force of nature. They say that the earth went down 2 degrees because of his... He killed 50 million people with a sword. That's where decimate comes from.
During what time?
Late 13th century.
It was like 86. Oh.
Yeah, 1986. That's where decimate comes from. Well, actually, it originally came from Rome, but decimate, when they say someone is decimated,
yeah,
they would take one soldier and they'd each be responsible for killing 10 civilians. Decimal.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because they had fucking swords.
So he's regarded as one of the greatest killers of all time.
Horrible human being.
Yeah.
But, that's why it's weird. Historians, a lot of these, like Alexander the Great, horrible. These are all Hitlers. They're all terrible human beings.
Who do you think in the last 10 years will go down in the ranks of, I mean, obviously no one to the...
I don't know. I don't have enough perspective. I don't really know what's happening. It could be anybody.
Like, and let's just say, not even on a killing basis, but just
the
what
evil?
What, yeah, like what they've done to society or in the way that they've contributed or implemented their...
Walmart.
Kardashians.
Yeah. I'm trying to cut up a video right now of the father when he's like, he's interviewed in 91 right after he got OJ off. And he's like thrilled about it. And they're going to start looking for the real killer of Nicole Brown. It's hilarious. And I'm going to cut that back and forth with the devil's advocate.
That could be a whole new series.
It's going to be, well, it's just these little videos, but Amy keeps telling me they're too intense, but I think they're fucking hilarious.
Yeah, but you are intense.
I'm an intense dude.
Yeah.
This is me not on caffeine.
I love it.
Podcast. Tell everyone where to find it.
It's called About Last Night. You can get it on iTunes or aboutlastnightpodcast.com. When is this coming out?
Soon. Tomorrow okay. or Tuesday, maybe?
Well, coming up, the live episode should be up because it would go up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you got to listen to that because that's Owen and Brent Moore and Joey Mack. And then we've got Howie Mandel and Jay Moore. And then our 200th episode... which is just a highlight reel of all 200 episodes, which you're in that
Do I
too.
Make it?
Yeah, man, you made the cut.
Oh, that's awesome.
Couldn't include all 200, but hey, man, you delivered on that episode. So
I did.
You did hard, yeah.
Dude, we had some songs, guys. Dude, you gotta listen to this.
We're gonna post clips too. We tape video of it, which will be great because I would feel, and you know, and that's how you just gotta like. Live is one thing, but to see some of the shit live,
it's great. It's
a video. But Owen, that was so great too because I hadn't. You know, having Avery Pearson on the keys, I was like,
He
was great. But, and that's just what was great about how impromptu, because literally one moment about Great Dane, there was no ever talk of, I mean, maybe briefly we were like, yeah, and then maybe we'll do some impromptu songs. But like, we had so much great discussion that like, that was not even in the forefront of my mind. And then literally, everyone was just so locked in though to what was happening and listening so well that like, literally when you said one thing about Great Danes, which you'll hear in the podcast when you listen to it, Owen goes, Great Danes Die Young. And I go, that sounds like a Bruce Springsteen song. Owen just stands up immediately. Doesn't even skip a beat. Just stands up like Springsteen on stage in Philly and just starts. And then Avery immediately starts playing. And then like the next thing you know, there's a 5-minute song where we're each going around taking a verse.
Dude, it was magical.
It was fucking awesome. And everybody was in tune, and even Brad, who can't sing, like locked in for that moment.
Dude, Brad locked in, and then our Casey and Bro dance.
Yeah, Uncle Brother?
Oh, yeah, dude, that was a monumental episode.
Come on, dude.
Once and for all, what does Brad say about Little Person, Dwarf, Midget? What's the right one?
Little Person, Dwarfism is what it is, right? That's the,
right.
That's the I guess, did we say disease or condition? What he was born with.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, do I have giantism?
I mean,
everyone's got some kind of ism.
Depends what your attitude
is. Some jism.
Like that day. Everyone's got some ism. So they, dwarfism. I say when we're on the podcast, sometimes if we get in a heated moment or something, I'll drop the M-bomb. But
is it seen as...
It doesn't bother him, but it does.
It is bad. It's a bad one.
It is, he doesn't like little people. Dwarf is...
See,
like,
that's what I get sometimes. Like, I have friends with, let's just say dwarves, let's take middle ground.
Yeah.
And if you say little person, they're like, Don't pull. Just say what the fuck I am. And other people would be like, if you say midget, I'll fuck you up. And I'm like, what the fuck do I say?
I say little person sometimes. I think it's case by case. If I'm talking to like, like on stage when I say like, you got to get a, I'll say like, and I'll talk about him, of us going to the Super Bowl and all this stuff and how like, you know, the game wasn't going well. And like, I turned from fan to concerned friend because he's getting visibly choked up because his team is getting their ass kicked. And like, I'm concerned now, like I'm a friend concerned, A, because we came all this way, spent all this money and it's not even a close game. And B, I don't know what happens if a midget cries at the Super Bowl. Like, I haven't seen like what, you know, and then I play that whole out, but it's like, and then I talk about how you got to get a midget best friend. And then, but saying in the context of the joke, it doesn't, like saying you got to get a dwarf best friend doesn't have enough impact. No. But certain people I will talk to, if I'm talking, like my mom is a little PC on stuff like that. So I will say, like she'll say little person, or some of her friends, if they say, oh, you got to do my mom will go, yeah, listen to his podcast. And he's an older Jew. So I go, yeah, and I do it with my buddy who's a little person. Even though, but also sometimes I'm like, I'll fucking just say dwarf. Like they're cool and like, you know.
Yeah, I was raised that there were no bad words, just bad intentions. The only words
I wasn't
allowed to say was retard and nigger. My parents were like,
good night, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, no. My parents literally were like, those ones you can't make those. I could say retarded because that is a word. That's not a fucking, you know what I mean?
How do you feel about people when they say like, that shit's so gay or that's retarded?
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all.
So they say like, oh God, like the lines at the mall were fucking retarded.
Yeah, because there's no, that's not a shot at anyone. That's just, it's like, it's a word that the meaning has evolved. Like all meanings evolve. Like take some of the worst words in history. Like, I mean, there really isn't one much worse than nigger. And that comes from the Portuguese word nigra, which just means black. It's like, intention just keeps changing. Like faggot was like, it used to mean an older woman. And before that, no, for real.
So we
woman.
Could be walking around being like, you know who's a great actress? Meryl Streep.
What a faggot. Yeah, for real. Like, because it used to, well, even back, even in that context, it was kind of, you're being a dick. About
Glenn Close, women. Meryl Streep, Diane Lane in?
Faggots. Because it like this a Friday, was a bundle Fox. Of sticks, which meant a burden. So back in the day, you would say faggot was like a postmenopausal woman that wasn't giving any more children. People would refer to it as faggot. It's everything evolves and changes.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's like,
I believe that though, man. It is the intention, and I try to reserve my. I mean, also too, just life is stressful, and you got to pick and choose your battles, and pick and choose what's going to upset you and what. Well, you really, I mean, obviously it's how you figure out like what you stand for and what your point of view and take is on life and how you're going to conduct yourself and just, you know, future scenarios based on like, but when I hear people sometimes, I do sometimes get very, if I hear somebody say that I like and I haven't seen them in this scenario yet and they'll be like, God, that fucking guy at the game who wouldn't let us sneak down to closer seats, like he was being that was so fucking gay. Like, I'll try to not, like, it does bother me for whatever reason, because I'm just like, there's no reason to use that word in that scenario. But again, I will go, that's not going to be a deal breaker for the friendship, but for a second I will go like, ugh, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's more like if it's a shot at gay people where it's like, don't wear tight pants, you're a faggot. Then you're like, easy guy.
Yeah.
But if it's like gay, like it's like, someone drank that beer, like, that's gay. Like, that's not a shot at homosexual people. That's someone who doesn't have a big vocabulary and probably heard that over and over and over again.
By the way, go ahead.
It's the same with, like, for example, like, retarded actually is used properly a lot because it means underdeveloped. So if you say these plans are retarded, it means we didn't work hard enough developing these plans. It's not a shot at anyone with Down syndrome.
Dude, I hope everyone isolates that audio right there and listens to that because I didn't even stop to think about that, and that makes total sense.
Yeah, like a fire retardant, like yeast retardant. Like,
these plans are retarded.
Right.
Guess what? I'm never getting upset about
that. By the way, retarded was, up until the 90s, was seen as the PC term instead of imbecile, idiot. Like, doctors would be like, your kid is an imbecile. Like, and then they were like, say retarded, because it's more PC. And that, things are evolving so quickly that, like, that's why the PC culture, that's why people may elect Donald Trump, because they're getting so wound up where they can't trust their own instincts. They're like, what do I say? Like, what is right or wrong?
Do you also think that like Hillary is so presidential and so poised that like a slip up, like I watch only moments of the highlights of the Benghazi thing, but like when some woman was like, "Where were you alone last night?" And she was like, she goes, "Was I alone?" And this was like, I saw a lot of great humanness to her where she was like, I mean, and then she goes, "Were you alone?" And then Hillary goes, "Yes, I was alone." Like in Hillary's eyes, she was like, "Let's talk." Yeah, I had a big case of Ben and Jerry's and a dildo. Like I was alone. Like,
right.
In her eyes, she was like, "Yeah, let's highlight my loneliness." Like she, and then the woman goes, "I don't know why you're laughing. This is not very." But in, I was like, "Well, she's got to have." I don't know. I guess the point is like, I just want to see more. I feel like Hillary doesn't have a lot of those moments. Like the real.
Yeah, neither does Obama. And it's like that. I didn't really say. Obama never resonated with me until he was on Marin. That's the first time I ever heard him talk like a human.
Yeah.
He even said nigger. He goes, "I mean, we've come a long way. I mean, but just not saying nigger doesn't fucking mean." I was like, legend.
Like, that was pretty incredible.
That was incredible. And
I don't think that's been given enough. Well, maybe it has.
I mean, and it didn't register in anyone's reptile brain as offensive. Because if he said N-word, his point would have no meaning. He had to say it.
You think he went in knowing that he had to drop an N-bomb?
I don't know. Maybe. That's brilliant if he did. Because he was also saying that the president's a manager. I almost got my bit a little bit from him, but he's not a comedian, so I don't feel like it's stealing. But like he was basically saying he's management. And I was like, yeah. That's awesome.
He had to understand his platform. He's got to be in the note where people are also like, I'm sure he, but who knows if he even has time. I'm sure he does, at the gym, listen to a couple Marin pods just to get the vibe.
Yeah.
But then there's also people briefing him going like, you know, and I'm sure he had to submit questions. I'm sure there was a lot of game plan with that, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just seemed like
there has to be. He's the leader of the free world. I mean, that dude's power, it's like, even though he doesn't have the power to really change much in America, it's like they can move the ship inches at a time. I mean, think about what the dude got done. Marriage equality, killed Bin Laden, got us out of the worst recession. I mean, you've got to give it to the dude.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's crazy.
And having no hope from Congress.
I mean, FDR, the same thing. It's like people forget how much FDR was hated at the time. Like everyone can look back. I mean, Lincoln was fucking shot.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these dudes, in the moment, they're like, everyone fucking hated FDR. And he was just slowly turning the ship. He got out of the Depression, and then he beat the Nazis in his lifetime. That's insane. And he did it out of a wheelchair.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what I did?
What?
Split an Uber a couple days ago.
Bro, you're in Budapest. When was the last time FDR went to fucking Budapest?
When was the last time FDR sang two death metal songs in the reboot of a franchise movie that hopefully will give me that surge we were talking about earlier.
You're surging, bro. You're killing it. Ghostbusters is going to be a monster.
Ghostbusters will be cool. I got a TBS show with Eliza coming out in January.
Oh, so really?
It's like a relationship
Oh, that's going to be monstrous.
Show. It turned out really well. You just don't know. But, I mean, I'm sure you're the same
TBS's
way.
TBS's president is really cool, though. He's a good guy.
Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dope.
Newman Fox. He knows what's up.
He does know what's up. And I think he's...
although he did cancel my fucking show, but I understand that. It's politics.
Well, we got to find another one.
Yeah, but he's a good dude, though. He knows what's funny.
I don't know how you view things when you get a couple cool things, but they're like, you know, January and July, respectively, are a ways away. And so I try to conduct myself as if those things didn't even happen, and they're going to be bonuses on top because...
I'm constantly spiraling.
Yeah.
I never know what the hell's coming in.
And isn't that the... I don't think that ever stops. I mean, you look at like a guy like in Conan's position where it's like he thought he had the world on a string, and then it fucking was clipped, you know, and then...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, you get your...
Because everyone, it's perspective. I would be like, oh, sorry, Conan, you're not making 40, you're making 28 million this year, you fuck.
Yeah.
But then someone would say that to me. They're like, oh, sorry, Owen, you're only headlining fucking 3 improvs this week, asshole.
Right.
And I'm like, no, but I'm like I feel how like often
you have to, how often do you have to hit yourself in the head and step back and go, Jesus, like, maybe I need to focus on what's great and not, but I think that's what drives you is the being unsatisfied. But also, I think it's a blessing and a curse. You do have to get to a point to where you're not like so,
hungry.
Yeah, so hungry.
Yeah. No, my personal life is what's really helped me with that because I'm happy in my personal life.
That's what's making me think I might be getting closer to like wanting that. But also, I feel like, and I told my mom this when she was, you know, I landed from Spokane. last night at 5:30, and then my buddy hit me up the night before while I was going on stage, and he goes, "Hey, somebody dropped at this gig in Santa Barbara. Can you go?" And the person texted me, and I worked out like enough money to go. So to where I thought it was, you know, fair.
Yeah.
And they were cool with it. So I landed at 5:30, got home by 7, and drove right to Santa Barbara, did the show, and drove back. I was fucking exhausted, but what was the point of that?
Oh, being hungry.
Yeah. So my mom was like, "God, you got to like slow down." And I was like, "Yeah, but I didn't get to this point by not doing stuff like that." Totally. And hopefully there will come a point where it's like, you know, like Sebastian Maniscalco, you're doing all these theaters. Like, he's not going to land at some spot and drive to Santa Barbara for a quick extra, you know, rent money or whatever. But also, I've been dropping a lot of money on my sister for her wedding and shit. So like, I also felt financially, I was like, "Oh, that'll cover." Like, me going to do this gig will cover the fucking catering that I helped
drive. Yeah. No, but yeah, you can have... I mean, that's one reason why me and Amy are so good is because, like...
She gets it.
She doesn't... If that was me, she'd be like, "Yeah, go crush."
But also, you need her because then she... she'll make you want to not do that sometimes. And you need that, I think, to not go do that.
Yeah, and it gives me a reason to do it. I'm more productive with her than I was without. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, now... Because there came a time in my life when I was like... I'm all about crushing stages, you know? But it's like, what do I really fucking need? And then now that I have a... I'm getting married, I'm like, I want to be able to provide for a family. And like, it only makes it bigger where you're like, get even hungrier almost. But like, it gives me a reason to work because then I can come home and just be with her and my dogs and our future kids and shit. Like, that to me is heaven. It's like, you work your ass off and then you can come home and eat fucking Brussels sprouts with your chick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if not, it's like, you know, I've went down some dark roads where like, I'm working my ass off and then I just come home and it's like, there's like broken glass on my floor. I don't know where the hell I am.
That sounds like the opening scene of, you know what it is.
Ghostbusters?
No. Glenn Close, Meryl Streep, Diane Lane.
Three faggots.
I liked it. It was
on a three faggots, you'll never forget. No, it's a Lifetime series.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's because someone had a really old dictionary, and they're like, and everyone's pissed at the title guy. They're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, my dictionary's from the 16th century. My bad." And it's like, why do you keep calling us faggots? It's like, because this was from 1550. It was, you know. I know you got to do the improv, so I'll let you go. I got to go.
That was a blast.
Yeah, you're the man. Twitter, Adam Ray.
Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy, because Adam Ray was taken by some guy who does, like, folk songs in the Midwest.
Fuck that. Dude, Owen Benjamin on Instagram was taken by an Asian baby who legit has more hashtags than me. Because Asian babies are so fucking cute.
More hashtags or better hashtags?
Dude, he kills it. Like, after shows, I'll, like, check my hashtag. And I'll get a couple, like, people that took pictures with me and stuff. And there'll be, like, 30 from this little Asian baby. Where they're like, "Oh, look at Owen Benjamin. He's so fucking cute." And he's just some little Asian baby.
Also, that's awesome that there's an Asian baby named after you.
I know.
For sure they saw you on The Tonight Show once.
And Sullivan and Son. Yeah. Very Asian show.
Did you get more Asian followers from that?
No. Super white, middle America. TBS. Very funny.
Yeah. Very funny, very white.
Super white.
Yeah.
Or black. But not Asian or Hispanic. It was white, black.
Wouldn't that be great to just accumulate a following, that made you, to where, like, now you're going, every city you go, the Owen Benjamin fans come out, but they're fans that you never thought that you would, like, they are just all...
pedophiles. Like, the parking lot is all vans. And, like, I'm really opposed to their lifestyle.
You're so torn, because you're like, but they're great crowds.
Great crowds.
And you never know, and you never try. You're like, "Yo, I'm staying out of their business." Like, they want
no, but I'm like, during the show, I keep being like, "What you're doing is wrong," and they don't even care. They know they're wrong, but they can't help themselves. But I'm charging $100 a ticket.
Yeah,
and they're paying.
And they're paying it.
Yeah.
Something to think about, man.
That was Adam Ray.
All right, cool. All right, good day,
guy.
Man. Write to me at whydidn'tthelaughpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll tell you why, because I have an idea. This next episode that's coming out in 2 days, I'm comparing pornography comments with YouTube comments. because I have a theory that porn comments are way nicer. Yeah. And it, also, I don't know what the point of porn comments are, but porn is monstrous on the internet. I mean, they get more hits than any, I mean, they'll have clips that are like 50 million hits. It's crazy. So write to me. This week's topic is the funniest comments, like the most mean on YouTube, like undeservedly mean. You know, like John Lennon's mother and someone's like, this guy sucks. Like find a couple of those, send them to me. And then find me the nicest porn comments and send them to me. Or they don't have to be. If they're mean or nice the other way, you know, whatever you just find interesting. But I think you'll see a trend. And it's super funny. Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre that you porn is nicer than YouTube. You never would see that coming. And then we can talk about why that is. Who knows? Maybe they feel less repressed. I don't know. All I know is they're a lot kinder. So why didn't they left podcast at gmail.com? Send me the funniest comments or the most profound comments you've seen on either YouTube or a porn site. You know, don't make it like crazy, weird shit. Just like, you know what I'm getting at. Mainstream shit. Nothing fucking crazy. If you don't want to watch porn, don't. Just do a YouTube thing. Or another category that I haven't thought of. I was checking out Big Bird videos. People get crazy with Sesame Street shit. There's like 5,000 thumbs downs for fucking Big Bird. Makes no sense. You know, fashion-y shit or stuff that I don't even understand. Let me know how those comments are. Let me know where the viciousness is and where the support is. As always, spread the shit. Hashtag, why didn't they laugh, or WDTL, I guess. And subscribe. That way we keep it going. All right, much love. Later.